Hey, this is one of our recent messages from a series here at Grace Life. Be sure to stay to the end for a special message. Now be encouraged with this good news.
Start there. We're in the second week of our series called Brand New. Last week we talked about new wineskins and new wine being poured into new wineskins. We are the new creation in Christ Jesus. And today we're going to talk about it's a brand new day. It's a new day. If he made all things new, Revelation 21:5, then every day is new. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation this morning from Lamentation, so you might want to follow along on the screens unless you have access to the Passion Translation. It might read a little different than some of your translations, but it says, Yahweh's tender mercies have no end, and the kindness of his endless love is never exhausted. I underlined that. I put a yellow highlight on that. Never exhausted. New, fresh mercies greet me with every sunrise. So wonderfully great is your faithfulness. Would you take just a minute and pray with me and thank him for his faithfulness? God, we're here to talk about your faithfulness. You're good. You've always been faithful. You've never failed us, and you won't fail now. You're a firm foundation, and we thank you for that. Now, as the word goes forth, which is the seed, Christ himself in us, may it be planted deep within our hearts. May it take root, and may the love of God manifest as fruit in our lives, and may we touch the hearts of others for the kingdom of God. Encourage us now by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you accept that? Do you believe that? Have you ever woken up from a long night, dark night? Maybe you cried yourself to sleep. I see some head shaking. I've cried myself to sleep more times than I want to admit. And the nights were long. So sometimes wrestling with fear, sometimes worried about things that God's already worked out. It's just not been evident to us yet. Uncertainties. But then you hear the birds chirping. Then you feel the sun hitting your face. And you know that it's a new day. That's God's gentle reminder. The birds outside my window in the morning, even at 5 a.m., are chirping. And they're anxiously awaiting the sunlight to come up. And I was reminded that they're not worried about what's going to happen when the sun comes up. They're not worried about where they're going to get their food. They're not worried about. And the Bible tells me that if he cares for the sparrows, the birds of the field, and they're not worried about it, then why in the world would I be worried about it if I'm one of his children? It's a brand new day. No matter how dark the night or how many tears you've cried, it's a brand new day. I like the scripture in Psalms. I believe it's in chapter 30, verse 5, that tells me that joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. This robot has decided to do its own thing over here. I think it's following Todd right now, so we're just going to turn it off and trying to do too much technology will just get in the way, won't it? But it's off. It'll go to sleep on its own. Unlike some of us in the middle of the night when we're worried and can't get to sleep, that thing will go to sleep on its own. I want to make a few points this morning, and then I want to pray over you. The songs have already ministered to us that we can lay our burdens down. We can step into a brand new day with a light burden. The Passion Translation says that God's mercies never run out. They're never exhausted. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We live in a world where everything seems to run out. I've ran out of gas so many times. I've ran out of money a lot of times. We run out of time. We run out of strength. And I know this one, everybody should say that you've had this happen in your life. You've ran out of patience. If you've ever been out to eat at Applebee's recently, you've You might have lost your patience. But God's mercy does not ever run out. It's never exhausted. It does not have an expiration date on it. If ketchup has an expiration date on it, and Miracle Whip has there's freshness dates on some of the labels of different foods. They run out. They get old. They become rotten. But God's grace, I don't want to wear out the point, but I want to tell you this morning that every morning we're not waking up to yesterday's grace. It's not left over from yesterday. We're receiving fresh mercy, tailor-made, custom-made for the day. Could you imagine waking up to a text message from God that says, today's grace has been delivered. Yeah. It's exactly what you need. Yeah. And then tomorrow you'll face something different, but the text message says that the grace of God has already been delivered. It's already, he's gone ahead of us and he already knows what your day holds. Yeah. And he's given you fresh mercy and fresh grace for that day. That's exciting. It's not recycled. Nope. Old mercy. It's brand new. It's a renewable resource. I like the fact that it's brand new for the day. The tender mercies from a Hebrew perspective, this is the Lamentations is written in Hebrew. So from that Hebrew perspective, God's mercy and compassion keep us attached to his heart, even as an embryo is attached to its mother's womb. Mercy is a multifaceted concept in the Hebrew that encompasses compassion, deep love, and often it will draw on the imagery of a mother's love for her child, highlighting her nurturing and protection over her children. That's the tender mercies of God. I just would like to say it this way, that is the mother part of God. Scripture tells us that he has motherly instincts and characteristics. He, like a hen would brood over its chicks, he said he was brooding over his people, hovering over. So he has motherly characteristics that would show tender mercy and connect to his children so that we stay close to his heart, and he nurtures and protects us out of that. Come on, mamas. Would you not do anything for your children? I've seen sweet, tender, kind mothers, nails come out and fangs pop out when you start talking against their children, or you're going to, some of the quietest people in the building. But you talk about their kid, that your father, God, I'll just say mother God, that motherly instinct of him, he wants to hold you close to his heart with his deep love and compassion. That's fresh and anew every morning that you get up. God specializes in fresh starts. Well, that's for somebody here this morning. Maybe you're watching, you're listening, and you just need a fresh start. God isn't just the God of second chances. He's the God of new beginnings and fresh starts. You can find it all throughout Scripture. You may feel stuck in yesterday's mistake, the shame of it, the pain of it, the sorrow of it, but God's not holding that against you. He's giving you a fresh start. I love the fact that Lamentations would point out to us in verse 22, in the New King James Version, it says, we are not consumed. Amen. By God. We talked here recently, his fire burns off, but it doesn't burn us up. We're not consumed because of his loving kindness and tender mercies that give us a fresh start, a clean slate. When you wake up, yesterday is not counted against you. You have a brand new day ahead of you with a fresh start. Jesus, because of Jesus and in Jesus, every day is resurrection day. Literally, for some of you, when you get out of bed, it's like a resurrection. Psalm 30, verse 5 in the New Living Translation said, "For his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Do you all remember the story of Peter? And he denied Christ three times. And for so long, I was caught up in that rooster crowing. Because Jesus told Peter, "You're going to deny me before the rooster crows. You'll deny me three times." And it's kind of like I've always had in my mind that that was sealing the deal, the fate for Peter. Until Lisa mentioned to me one time that a rooster announces a brand new day. When that rooster starts a cockle-doodle-dooing, that rooster is saying, not your fate is sealed, it's announcing that a new day is beginning. It should give Peter hope, and I hope it gives us hope that when we hear, even in our spirit, the rooster crowing, it's announcing a brand new day. Do you know that, you know when, after the resurrection, what time of the day that God forgave Peter? Breakfast. As the sun was coming up over the Sea of Galilee, and they had been, he had gone back to fishing, because that's what he had done before Christ had come to reveal himself to him and the Father to him. He went back to what was familiar. He began to protect the old because the new was threatening to him, like we talked about last week. But Jesus shows up early in the morning and begins to fix breakfast so he can come down and tell Peter, "He's forgiven, and now feed my lambs." So the rooster didn't seal his fate. The rooster announced to Peter it was a brand new day. Jesus specializes in fresh starts and new beginnings. Some of you need to get a hold of that today. Some of you need to encounter and experience a fresh start. And it's not like Monopoly. It's not like you don't pass go, do not collect $200, go straight to jail. No. You just pick yourself up and you keep on going and you move forward. You don't have to do anything over again. You don't have to prove anything. Jesus already proved everything that needed to be proved on the cross. Jesus is our Sabbath day. He is our true rest. In the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, in the Law of Jews, in Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 8, one of the commandments that was handed down on the stone tablets was to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. So the Sabbath day was a day to stop striving, stop laboring, and to reflect on God's goodness. I'm telling you what Sabbath was in the Old Testament, Old Covenant. It was a command, but it was also a gift. They looked at it as a weekly taste of Eden, or in their minds, paradise. But they were only experiencing it, pausing and celebrating it once a week. Yet it was only a taste, a shadow of what was to come. Can I show that to you in the New Covenant? Turn with me to Colossians. So everything we talked about this a little bit last week, prophetically from the Old Testament that pointed to Jesus, has been fulfilled. We're not looking for any fulfillment of a Messiah or Jesus to come. It's been fulfilled. And as the Sabbath was a shadow or a prophetic insight into what Jesus would be for us and who he is to us, we find in Colossians, the second chapter, the fulfillment of Exodus, the 20th chapter. And it is, he is a perpetual Sabbath. May I read this to you from the Mirror Bible with some commentary? Thank you. "Do not let anyone, therefore, bring a restriction to your freedom." Why did Christ set you free? Paul said it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. But don't let anyone bring a restriction to that freedom by reviving religious rules. Hear my heart for just a second. a lot of reviving is only stirring up religious rules and regulations. Oh, okay. But this freedom that Paul was talking specifically had to do with the law of Moses, with reviving regulations pertaining to eating and drinking. A lot of what made the Jews holy is what they ate. If you'll go back and study in the Old Testament how they were holy, a lot of it had to do with their diet, what they were eating. I asked one rabbi a few years ago, because there's not been a temple to make animal sacrifice since 70 AD. And under Jewish religious laws, the only remission of sin comes through the shedding of blood. That's the Jewish way. That's why there was a temple. They didn't make sacrifices in the local synagogues. The local synagogues were a place of teaching where the rabbis would teach and read the scripture to the people, but they did not make sacrifices in the synagogue. The sacrifices were only made in the temple where the blood was taken behind the veil once a year into the Holy of Holies. And without the shedding of that blood for the Jewish people in their religion, there was no remission of sin. There has not been any animal sacrifice made in the Jewish religion since 70 AD. So under their own laws, they're not keeping the law, because there's no temple. And American Western Christian Zionist, there does not have to be a building of a third temple. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a temple not made by hands, human hands, with brick and mortar. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the last temple. It's the only temple. It's where the Spirit of God dwells permanently. That's good teaching. But Paul saw that they were trying to pull those who had been set free back into these religions. Paul even said in another place, when the law is preached, what does it do? There's a revival that takes place when sin's preached. It revives and stirs up sin. Lisa just told you that. And he says, don't let anyone restrict you. You can't walk in newness of life in a new day being held captive by rules and regulations. Where you can go, what you can eat, what you can... Now, the Holy Spirit can deal with you personally and individually about what to put down and what to pick up, where to go and where not to go. But we have to be sensitive to that Spirit and surrender to the Spirit as He speaks to us. And He does use other individuals with prophetic voices, I almost said pathetic voices, with prophetic voices to speak into our hearts. We either receive that and it confirms what the Spirit is dealing with us about, or we don't pay any attention to it. There are consequences to that. But don't let it restrict your freedom by being pulled into it. This is common right now. Don't be judged by new moons, Jewish festivals, and Sabbaths. Now, the Sabbath, singular, was at Friday at 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m. Sundown Friday 6 p.m. to Saturday 6 p.m. That's the Sabbath for Jews. There were Sabbaths. Every 7 years was a Sabbath that they would let the ground rest. Every seven sevens, 49, in the 50th year was a jubilee, a Sabbath where all debts were set, paid off. Do it again, Lord. Yes, He already did through Jesus. That's right. Give us the strategies to help us. But Colossians says that Jesus was the end of all of that, and that He is in reality the true Sabbath. The Sabbath of the Old Covenant was a shadow of the things that were to come. In what respect? we stop our striving and we reflect on the goodness of God. But it's not a once a week thing when we come together. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're pausing from our week. We're ceasing from our labors. We're gathering together and we're reflecting on the goodness of God and encouraging. But on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, there's not a day of the week that he's not Lord of the Sabbath. And man was made for the Sabbath, not Sabbath for the man. And he's Lord of the Sabbath, and he is a perpetual Sabbath and our true rest. All of this is found in Christ. The Sabbath was like an engagement ring, beautiful, valuable, full of promise, but it wasn't the marriage. But the bridegroom came, his name is Jesus, and now we rest in him. We enjoy the benefits of that marriage, not just a wedding day, but every day a brand new day. Amen. Yes. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works just as God did from his. We entered into God's rest the first resurrection Sunday morning. We all died, all rose in Christ. On Friday, Jesus said, it's finished. On Saturday, the world was silent. And on Sunday, everyone woke up to a brand new day. Not just a day on the calendar after the winter solstice. But in a spiritual rhythm, there's a spiritual rhythm to rest. The old Sabbath was the seventh day. You rested after work. But in the new covenant, Jesus rose on the first day, and now we are working, co-laboring with him from rest, not for it. The labor, if you feel like that, anything that you are doing for the Lord is pressuring you. Number one, you shouldn't be doing it for him. You should be doing it with him. Amen. You are a co-laborer with him. So if you're doing something, if your mentality is I'm doing this for the Lord, he doesn't need you to do anything. But he invites you to work with him, and so now I can rest. Following his lead, learning from him. The new covenant, every day is a day of rest. Now, I understand that we have to get up and we have to go to work to put food on the table and gas in the car and clothes on our kids' backs and pay all. I understand that. I'm not, because some people here don't work and they sit on the couch and they don't do anything. That's what was happening in Thessalonia. When Paul had to go and tell them, if you don't work, you don't eat. Because what they had heard was, the Lord is returning, and so they went and sat on the couch and didn't do anything. No, Proverbs is still true. The sluggard doesn't get anything, and a lazy man won't eat. John and I were talking before church. It's hard when you start telling the truth, isn't it, brother? Some people, and it's not beating people up, but the truth is, yes, I don't work for the Lord to get anything from him. He's already provided it, but I do work to put food on the table, and I like to enjoy certain things, and so if we have to work, somebody needs to hear that. Our brand new day begins with Jesus. Every day is resurrection day. The resurrection of Jesus changed the whole rhythm of life, and we're no longer living to rest, we're living from rest. And because of that, in Jesus, listen to this, every day is there's newness of life. Yes. Romans 6:4 tells us that we can walk in newness of life. We have a new identity. It's really our original identity, but the word new in the Greek gives a connotation to a discovering. When something's new, it may not be new as in it's just created, but it's new to us because we're just now discovering it. Does that make sense? And it's not a, in this, there's two different words, and this isn't in the notes and it's not going to be on the screen, but in studying, there's two Greek words. One of them is neos, N-E-O-S, and that's newness that looks at the present and the future. It's not looking back to an old and saying that that's been done away with and this is new. No, you've always been a new creation in Christ Jesus. The reality of that, when Christ came to, because when was he slain? Before the foundation of the world. When were you found in Christ, Ephesians 4:6? Before the foundations of the world. But when you are awakened to and you have the discovery of who you are in Christ, it's a new identity. It's a new birth. We have the on the screen back there for the scripture of the month, 1 Peter 1:3. Being born again is what happened to you when Christ was resurrected from the dead. That was your new birth. All of mankind, help me, Holy Ghost, was born again in Christ. When were we born the first time? In Adam. Mankind, human race, was born in Adam, the first Adam, and then all died, including Adam, and all were resurrected, and that resurrection is a birth. The tomb became a womb. He stepped out of that tomb into newness of life, did he not? That's what we preach every Easter Sunday morning. And scripture says, Colossians, Ephesians, and other places, that when he got up, you got up. And then in Peter, 1 Peter 1:3, he says that we were born again by the Spirit on resurrection day. I don't know how you put that feather in your cap or how you chew on it. I'm just giving you Bible. When you wake up in the hospital after surgery, and the doctor comes in and he says, the surgery went well. Everything worked out great. You're healed. You're on the mend. That's, especially if you've been having pain and all of the sudden because of the surgery, now you're not going to experience that pain. You're going to, a new lease on life, you'd hear somebody say, a new day for me because of the pain gone. How much more the newness of life that we can experience in Christ? And that we do experience. You're not dying. You already died. I realize that this thing will cease to exist someday. But the real you, the spirit man inside of you, is not dying, will never die. It's immortal. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 15. This mortal has put on immortality. This corruption has taken on incorruption. Why? Because he's an incorruptible seed. And I'm sorry, I might be going too deep and I don't want to, but I want you to experience and have knowledge of what you already possess on the inside of you through the indwelling Christ. It's a new day. It's a new song. You have a new tongue. I could go on and on. There's a new heaven and a new earth. Next, in 2 weeks, on the 27th, we're going to talk about a new covenant. That one might have to go for a couple of weeks because it's not a contract and we need to understand. I don't want to preach that message today. It's a new day. Somebody say it's a new day. Jesus is inviting you in to true rest in this new day. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 is probably, once I heard it in the Message Bible, one of my favorite scriptures. It's an invitation from Jesus himself. And in the Message Bible, he says it like this. Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I'll teach you and you'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That's not just physical rest, but it's soul rest. What is the soul? The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. When we learn the unforced rhythms of grace in a natural flow of the Spirit, nothing being forced, nothing being manipulated, just a flow, It will calm our nervous system. We'll be at peace in our minds. We'll be at peace in our spirits. Our emotions will begin to even out. You know, a lot of people have high highs and low lows, and I know there's conditions and medication helps with that, and I'm not talking about that, and God can heal that as well. But sometimes we just need to have an even keel in our emotions. We watch the news and then we get all depressed, and then we see our favorite team win, and then we're just bouncing from like one of those super bounce balls that you throw on the ground in it. And the unforced rhythms of grace, because I'm resting. Now, I grew up in a culture, and there was a cliche in this Christian culture that I grew up in. And if you've been around my parents, you probably heard it. You know, people were having a problem or something. Just rest, brother. Just rest. I didn't know what that meant. I thought it meant go home and take a nap. No, it was learning. Jesus said, come unto me. So first of all, he says, are you worn out? Are you burnout, anxious, heavy burdened? We sang it just a few minutes ago. You can learn, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. And as you learn, he said, I'll give you your life back. You'll recover the freshness, the newness of life. You'll have rest from guilt and from performance. Jesus is saying, you don't have to prove yourself anymore. I've already proved everything that needed to be proved on the cross. I'm enjoying running. I did not ever think I would say that. But I am enjoying running. I like to see, here recently in your neighborhood, Alice, there have been turtles. And Lisa has warned me that I could get snapped by one of them. I said, those turtles aren't fast enough to snap me. I guess they might be, but I remove them from the road so they won't be harmed. But the scenery, I've taken some picture of some deer right out on Route 34 running on a Sunday morning. But the scenery, the journey of getting somewhere and going somewhere and seeing all that God is doing around me. I hate in bad weather to get on the treadmill at Planet Fitness. It seems like the same pace, the same amount of miles is 10 times harder and 10 times longer because I'm not going anywhere. I seem to get out of breath quicker. My legs start hurting faster. And I get off and I said, I didn't go anywhere. But that's what a lot of people are doing in life. They're on a treadmill going nowhere and they're exhausted. They're frustrated. The journey has become boring and monotonous. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus has pulled the plug on the treadmill. He's inviting you into a journey. And he said, my burden's light, so you're not going to have a heavy burden to carry around in this journey. It's a brand new day. He's inviting you to rest in him. Three quick things that you can do to apply living in this brand new day. Sometimes I think we're just not practical. Here's some three applications real quick. Stop striving and start trusting. You're never going to feel complete by your work. You were made complete in his finished work. What does trusting look like? Trusting looks like taking your hands off of it. I can't say, Randy, I'm trusting God, and then go right back over and pick it back up. No, I'm not trusting God. I have to completely take my hands off of it. Stop my striving and to work it out. He's worked it out. Let it manifest. That's working from rest, not for rest. This is a good way. Schedule some Sabbath moments. Some moments of rest where you sit down and you take time to breathe and to worship. If Sunday mornings in this great facility is the only time that you're lifting your hands and praising God and praying in the Spirit, it's wonderful, it's great, but you need to take time to rest and worship. Listen to the Holy Spirit, what He's leading and telling you to do. Pause and enjoy Him. And number three, wake up every morning expecting to find His grace on your life. Every sunrise is a declaration, I'm not who I was yesterday. And don't stop dragging the chains of yesterday into today's freedom. Let's stand, if you can. Stop striving, start trusting. Schedule some Sabbath moments. Pause and enjoy Him, and wake up expecting grace. A fresh and a new one in your life. Look to the person on your right and tell them it's a brand new day. Look to the person on your left and tell them it's a brand new day. We thank You, Father, that You are giving us rest through Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for the invitation to come to You when we're worn out, frustrated, and tired, burnout, and feeling anxious. We received Your gift of peace and Your rest this morning. Now I pray over each one under the sound of our voice, and we speak life and rest over their minds, their emotions, and even in their will. We thank You, Father, that You are rejuvenating, and that we're stepping into this rhythm of grace that's unforced. It's nothing forced. It's all a flow in the Spirit of God. Make us more sensitive. As we listen to You, may we heed what You're telling us to do, because it brings more rest. Thank You for Your sweet presence in us, on us, and around us today. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for watching. Lisa and I love you. We're praying for you. Be sure to tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our live broadcast. Now go and live a grace-filled life.